We've already got our technical folks looking at, you know, the next generation of software to secure and manage the devices. So this is something that we'd be looking to do in the next, you know, 30 to 60 days probably to start moving forward on that.
Do you know yet the breadth of the second pilot in terms of are you going to grow? So this one, the first one focused, for instance, on video. This will be video and these three other applications, or you're not sure yet?
I haven't figured all of that out yet, but the focus will probably be at least on that business intelligence aspect because, you know, that's part of a related issue of trying to expose more of our mission data through a business intelligence type platform. So this is a nice complement to that in terms of not only putting in place the business intelligence capability more broadly in the enterprise, but also now exposing it on a mobile device.
There's a lot of interest throughout government on the iPhone, I think because people use it in their everyday lives. But my understanding is that the iPhone can't be used in government because it doesn't meet certain standards that NIST put out, 140-3, I guess it's now FIPS publication. Is that something you guys are looking into, or because you guys run on an unclassified network, maybe it doesn't have to meet such high standards?
Yeah, we're definitely looking at that. At this point, that isn't an insurmountable barrier, but we are looking at third-party solutions, obviously, to try and overcome some of that. And there are some vendors out there that are, you know, at least purporting to provide those types of capabilities where you can, in fact, secure an iPhone device to a level that will satisfy government requirements. And that's really where we're looking to shift with this next version of the pilot.
Holgate says the first pilot lasted about 3 months and tested 150 devices.
We tried to deploy it to a mixture of users to get a cross-section of use experience and users and so forth. But still, you know, predominantly trying to get some of the user feedback from a video management perspective and to try and make sure that that functionality really worked well in the mobile environment. But also to get a sense of a cross-section of users who had been used to BlackBerries and other mobile devices to see if this was in fact an improvement, or if it wasn't, why not? So that's really the feedback that we've been collecting. And as I mentioned, are finding that based on a combination of the hardware and the software that we've deployed, there are some usability things that we need to address in the next phase of moving forward. And that will probably include moving to different hardware platforms that are more user-friendly and more in line with what users expect.
You talked a lot about the video, and it seemed like was video the main piece of the pilot, say, okay, can we get real-time video to the phone and or the PDA, how would it work, or was there more to it?
Really, the focus was on the video management, and part of that is because we funded this pilot through what's called spectrum relocation funds, and that was largely based on trying to replicate capability that had been displaced by selling off electromagnetic spectrum and trying to do that in now in an IP-based environment, and specifically the video management capability. That created us some challenges from a pilot perspective because it was a very targeted set of functionality that we were deploying. So for the non-video user, the experience was kind of, well, is that all there is? Because this isn't all that much greater than a BlackBerry, so what am I getting from this? And so that was, unfortunately, one of the lessons learned from the pilot was that if we're really going to expose this thing as an enterprise platform with more advanced and different capabilities than a BlackBerry, we really need to show them what those capabilities are to try and provide a broader use case for a broader cross-section of our user population. So that's one of the things that we're looking at doing with the next iteration of, frankly, focusing on an iPhone platform where there is an existing business intelligence client out there that we can tap into our enterprise business intelligence platform and use that as, you know, a broader use case for these mobile devices.
Holgate says the pilot didn't cost ATF a lot of money.
You know, just in terms of putting some of the software and hardware in place, there wasn't a significant cost there because we were largely riding our existing infrastructure. But there was probably, in terms of new software that we put in the environment, probably on the order of a few $100,000 just to get some of that infrastructure in place. And then we did a cost comparison of, okay, if we had to sustain this over the long term as a capability, how would this compare to, you know, the more traditional BlackBerry? And if you look at it from a total cost of ownership perspective, it actually ends up being roughly the same. So, you know, there's obviously different cost elements to the different platforms, but if you looked at the life cycle cost, if we chose to go that way, it would be about the same as our current BlackBerry costs.
He says the initial pilot and the next one with the iPhone are part of a larger effort called the Video Evidence Collection System.
We are trying to put in place a capability at any one time to have up to 300 surveillance cameras streaming video at a pretty high rate of quality and storing all of that video in an evidence quality system. And this is just a way of essentially monitoring that stream of video that's going into a capture system for potential use in prosecutions.
Finally, Holgate says the long-term goal is to reduce the number of mobile devices agents use and ATF supports.
And right now, we've got a lot of laptops out there, a lot of cellular broadband cards, a lot of BlackBerries, and in some cases, the same person has all three of those. So that's a pretty costly model for that one individual, and it comes, you know, at the expense of someone else potentially not having that type of capability. So if there's a more effective, you know, total platform that we can provide our users, you know, probably something that's more lightweight on a routine basis than a laptop, but, you know, clearly more robust than the BlackBerry capability that they have today. And there's a number of devices out there that fit that category, you know, coming onto the market soon. I mean, whether it's, you know, something like an iPad or, you know, a Dell Mini 5 that runs the Android operating system, it's kind of in that blurry zone between a laptop and a cellular, a more traditional cellular device. That's probably where we're going to end up going long term.